And we mean action now.
Hi there, dear listeners of Radio Havana, Cuba. This is Mike Hudson with Connecting the Dots, bringing life to background information to understand our present history. Today, we're connecting the dots between the corporate consumption's ideology and the counter-ideology against corporate consumption. According to Professor Nicholas Frodenberg of Public Health, in his book Lethal But Legal, he says that consumption ideology is the mass religion of corporations, the set of beliefs used to manufacture consent from consumers to win their support for a political and economic system that offers the masses ready access to products in exchange for acquiescence in a world where corporations increasingly make the decisions that shape our lives. The corporate consumption complex uses this ideology to enlist support from both business and political elites and ordinary people for its economic and political agenda of promoting consumption as the only feasible path for economic prosperity. Tobacco, alcohol, and food companies say they want parents to make decisions about their children's consumption habits, but use every advertising strategy at their disposal to reach children directly, thereby bypassing parental involvement. And all the industries extol the benefits of education, but spend billions on marketing approaches that are explicitly designed to appeal directly to deeper, more primitive urges, the antithesis of education. In the political arena, they consistently oppose accurate, effective, independent health education. Well, what corporations fear from government is not loss of individual freedom, but of their right to set the agenda, to design, market, and distribute their products with as little interference as possible, irrespective of the health, environmental, or social consequences. Since people need to buy more things than to borrow to buy, they want to pay lower taxes. Quick to realize an opportunity, corporate promoters of starving the beast of government use their muscle to advocate leaving more money in the pockets of consumers. With this extra cash and the expanded credit that the financial sector has made available as another source of profit, consumers can buy more of the goods and services corporate America offers. In effect, lower taxes and easy credit subsidize hyperconsumption at the expense of clean air, better education, and health care. Exposing the contradictions of this ideology, revealing the false claims it makes, and documenting its undermining of core values creates the opportunity to engage the American people and those of other nations in search for alternatives. Many Americans have doubts about corporations and the economic and social arrangements that the corporate consumption complex has celebrated. By themselves, these doubts do not constitute a counter-ideology, much less a program for action, but they may provide an opening for a different national conversation on consumption, well-being, democracy, and health. Overall, in 2012, the support for government regulations increased among Democrats, but fell among Republicans and independents, suggesting further polarization on this issue. In 2102, 63% of the population agreed that a free market economy needs government regulation in order to best serve public interest. In a 2012 survey, more than half of the respondents support stronger federal regulation of food production and packaging and environmental protection. And about 2 in 5 support stronger regulation of car safety, workplace, health and safety, and prescription drugs. Protecting public health might constitute a useful starting point for public discussion on the costs and benefits of regulation.
Now is the moment. Now is the moment. Come on.
Connecting the dots, constructing an alternative to consumption ideology requires taking on several intellectual and political tasks. Public health policies to reduce the toll from tobacco, alcohol, firearms, automobiles, pharmaceutical products, and food have consistently been opposed by industry-paid scientists whose goals were to cast doubt on the evidence that justified public oversight. Doubt is our product. A cigarette executive once observed, since it is the best means of competing with the body of fact that exists in the mind of the general public, it's also the means of establishing controversy. While corporations have used science and scientists as a weapon to advance their business and political interests, it's also true that scientists and health researchers have been in the forefront of efforts to protect the public against corporate misinformation and harm. Researchers first documented the appalling toll of tobacco, and then an army of health advocates and professionals led the successful campaigns to reduce tobacco use, first in the US and later in other developed nations and around the world. Big business succeeds in shaping patterns of health and disease, not because it has better evidence or idea, or a deeper understanding of human needs, but because it has more power to get inside people's heads and into the rooms where policy decisions are made. Through their advertising, public relations, lobbying, campaign contributions, and their influence on media coverage, philanthropy, and scientific research, corporations and their allies have a dominant voice in most of our society's channels of communications. Connecting the dots, again, there are social groups acting to create ideological alternatives to corporate consumption. The types of groups are very different. There are, for instance, ethical consumer groups. You know, they discuss what people consume and shapes their moral identity. There are also slow and local food groups. You know, they can maintain local food traditions and practices, link gastronomic pleasure and environmental responsibility, and resist corporatization of food. There are also fair trade groups, and that they advocate good trade practices that should not jeopardize workers, nations, or the global environment. All nations should have the right and opportunity to benefit from global trade. There are also environmental justice groups. The environmental consequences of business practices and economic development that should not unduly burden any group. All people have the right to a clean and healthy environment. There are also faith-based social action groups. They have moral and religious values that can motivate believers to take action to protect the environment, promote justice, or defend the vulnerable. There are also farmer and peasant movements. They discuss that food systems need to support workers and consumers and create sustainable patterns of agriculture and food marketing. There are labor groups, you know, of workers and consumers that can benefit from production and regulation systems that protect both workers and consumers. Also, there are patient advocacy groups. By challenging corporate practices that contribute to their illnesses, people with these conditions can improve their own health and contribute to a healthier society. There are also cultural jamming groups. You know, by advertising corporate messages, one can expose corporate domination and foster change. This is Mike Hudson from Radio Havana, Cuba, with Connecting the Dots.
And we may.